Lehigh Valley Public Radio is proud to present HealthBeat, a spotlight on healthcare in the Lehigh Valley, produced in conjunction with the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust and the Ryder Poole Foundation.
Good evening. I'm Greg Caponia, and with me is our co-host, Edward Meehan. HealthBeat is a program that's going to be taking a deeper look at healthcare in the Lehigh Valley. And today, we welcome Don Bernhard. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific.
Greg, it's great to be with you.
Let me give a little bit of information about Mr. Bernhard. He has quite a CV. He's a past chairman and still a board member of the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation and board chairman and 39-year board member of the Allentown Economic Development Corporation. He serves on the Board of Community Services for Children Head Start Allentown, the Governor's Early Learning Investment Commission, Pennsylvania Economy League, Advisory Board for Building 21 High School in Upside Down Allentown. He's also a trustee of the Century Foundation in Allentown. And in July, Don was appointed as a trustee of the Trexler Trust. And while there are many more accomplishments, we can suffice it to say that he's well-versed to address our topic today, and that is cradle to college career opportunity for Allentown School District students. It's called the Century Promise. Ed, you introduced me to the Century Promise. What does this mean from your angle at the Ryder Poole Foundation?
Well, Greg, I think the Century Promise is a very exciting opportunity for families and children and students and for the entire community in the Lehigh Valley. The show is HealthBeat. We with the Ryder Poole Foundation are very interested in the health of the Lehigh Valley. And while we know that healthcare is extremely important, there are multiple factors that influence the health of a population. Those are known as the social determinants of health. And we know that, genetics takes maybe 10% of what factors that would influence somebody's health. Healthcare, while extremely important, might be attributed to maybe 20% of the health of a population. Mm-hmm. But a whopping 70% of things that influence health have to do with social and societal factors and health behavior. And we know that education is a tremendous influence on those social societal factors and health behaviors. So education is an extremely important social determinant of health, and it's something that we want to focus a great deal more time and attention to going forward. And the Century Promise and Don's work is just such an exciting pivot point for us to be really thinking long-term about education improvement in the Lehigh Valley.
Don, the Century Promise is a four-way promise. Can you explain what that means?
Well, sure. It's at its root, it is a cradle-to-career initiative that when we started looking at, as the Century Fund winds down, which is doing, by the way, it sunsets in January, and just for those not familiar with the fund, it's the money that Don Miller, the publisher of the Morning Call, put in place to continue the philanthropy that he started in his lifetime. So as we were looking for, well, what's a difference-making thing we can do with a large chunk of our remaining money, we quickly hit on education as the difference maker here in Allentown. That, well, we don't have enough money to change the world. We're a place-based philanthropy just in this city. And we do have enough money to make a difference as we wind down. The first of the four things, as we started talking to people, particularly to Superintendent Thomas Parker, and I heard him say this repeatedly when he was asked, of all the problems you have to deal with, if somebody wants to make a donation to make the biggest difference to the Allentown School District, what is that thing? And that thing was middle school transformation. That's really the age that many kids decide, I'm really on a path to career or college, or I'm on a path to drop out, that I'm just disengaged. And that's not unique to Allentown. That's a challenge with middle schools everywhere. And things just need to be done differently. So that's one leg of it. But it really starts chronologically with early childhood education, which, you know, I've been convinced for many, many years just has to be this, that you have to have high quality early childhood education. That there's all kinds of science that shows it even changes the neurological development of children growing up in poverty if it's done right, which the Head Start program here very much does. It's one of the absolute best programs in the country.
Don, if I could ask, when you see a new mother or father, family, at what age should they be dialing into this thought of their child?
2 to 3 years old, and in some cases earlier. I mean, without getting too far down in the weeds, that one of the real successful programs that CSC runs is Safe Start, which is children born to drug-addicted mothers. So, you know, those children need attention as infants. But really, at an early age, parents need to be aware of being teachers themselves, and CSC has resources to help guide that. Just reading to children, just talking to children, it's important how many words even the youngest of children hear as they're growing up.
Don, if I can piggyback on that, just from a health standpoint, we know that infant mortality rates decrease as a mother's educational attainment increases. So I think the Century Promise pipeline, I think about it as a pipeline, say, from early childhood straight on to, you know, from cradle to college or career. For me, you know, it's an iterative process where we're really thinking about education of the mom, adequate prenatal care, and those kinds of things. So, and then certainly beginning with Century Promise, when you think about the continuum of work that would take place over a child's entire lifetime. So I for me, Don, one of the exciting things is sort of the vision of the Century Promise that describes, you know, a pathway for a child and for all children in the Allentown School District. So I wonder if you could speak to that, because so often we have a program here, a program there, a program here, a program there. But your Century Promise really is thinking about a very comprehensive long-term goal.
Let me speak to that for a second, and I'll skip over some of the chronological steps, and maybe we'll have time to get back to that. But jumping to the end point, one of the things that makes this relatively unique is it's really about putting children on a path to success, to either a successful college career or a successful career or a job right out of high school. And it really gets at the paradox that, you know, has been talked about a lot, but you know, not effectively addressed too many places. And that's the situation where you have many companies, even during the pandemic, you've got many companies out there having difficulty finding the skilled labor that they need to fill their jobs. So jobs can't be filled. And at the same time, you have school districts like Allentown, and it's not unique to Allentown, but you've got many students deciding at an early age that, there's no opportunity out there for me. I'm going to cease being a serious student. And they're on a path to drop out, not a path to success. So ultimately, that's really the end point of this. And it can succeed, just not to digress, but Building 21, which is a specialty high school in Allentown, you know, which educates primarily center city kids, just received its first official statistics back from the state on their graduation rate. And they've their first cohort of kids, they graduated 90% of their kids.
Wow.
Compared to, you know, mid-60s for Allentown School District overall. So it's not like this can't be done. It can.
And with the Century Fund sunsetting, you now have partners that will move this along.
Yeah, let me talk quickly about them. I did talk about Community Services for Children, which is, you know, the first step chronologically with kids. Next step involves the Da Vinci Science Center. And their piece of this is to change how science is taught in the fourth and fifth grade. And it's all about exploratory, hands-on kind of learning. So they've had a year of doing this, a year plus now, in the fourth and fifth grades. So as kids are getting ready to go to middle school, you want kids making judgments on math and science. Not that they can't do this or that they're bored by it, but that they're really engaged in it and like it and know they can do it successfully. So that's another piece. Middle school transformation is next, and that's really something that we're funding the district itself to do. And the thought there is, let's not reinvent the wheel here. Let's go find some models that have worked well elsewhere and import them here. So that the timetable of that was set back a little by the pandemic, but it's really moving now. And then the next piece is an early college program that involves LTRIC, and that's got more than a year under its belt already. And there are 40-plus Allentown School District kids who are on a path to get a two-year associate's degree at the time they normally would have gotten their high school degree. So, you know, another illustration of how these things can work. And then at the tail end, the Workforce Development Board is a part of this to work directly with individual kids and match them up to companies while they're still in high school. And Lee Butz has really spearheaded this. He's another one of the Century trustees to go recruit companies who will work with kids while they're still in school, whether it's a formal internship or just having them in and working with them to show them the kind of opportunities that are out there, whether it's a public sector or private sector career, and get them on a path to a job.
So we're looking at 10 to 15 years out for a person who might be in grade school. How do the businesses figure out what they're going to need down the road?
Yeah, that's a tough question, and that the answers to those questions in some cases were deferred a little bit because of the pandemic and how disruptive that was to the economy. But I think there are a lot of potential partners out there who, you know, if they look back 10 years, they were having trouble recruiting people then, and they know they're going to have that looking forward. I don't know, the police department's an example of that. They're constantly trying to get the right people to train to be police officers, and I just don't think that's going to change looking forward. Or I'm a PPL retiree, and they've gone as far as putting their own programs together to train linemen, which are fantastic jobs. You can earn $100,000 a year doing that job, but it's not something kids naturally gravitate to. It's something, you know, take some hand-holding and take some illustration to them that those kind of jobs are out there.
But there's a skill set that probably you can identify early.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it involves a couple of years of training after high school, but the earlier you identify the path and start following it, the better.
Greg, I think for me, big picture, let's all agree as a Lehigh Valley that education is an inherent good. Having students better educated is good for the entire community, and it enables good citizenship and enables participation in the community, increases the chances for improved social and economic conditions. You know, I think about the Nelson Mandela quote, "Education is the most powerful tool which you can use to change the world." And so for me, big picture, there's education as the inherent good. It's a good thing. And then as we get more specific to your question, we know that there are broad gauge things that folks are going to need. STEM is going to be more important in the future, science, technology, engineering, math. You know, students are probably going to know a heck of a lot more about coding than I ever will.
Right.
They're, you know, emotional intelligence, teamwork, how to work with others, how to present well, a lot of just sort of, quote, soft skills that are necessary to learn how to learn, to learn how to succeed. And then when we get closer to employment and saying, oh, you know, for example, what will the hospitals, what will Lehigh Valley Health Network need in the future? Well, in order to have a good, diverse workforce in the future, you're going to need to have a lot of fundamental high school and two-year, at least two-year prep for sciences, math, biology, things of that sort. So I think there's the opportunity with the Century Promise, Don, to get specific as you get closer to employment time. But I think there's a lot of broad gauge things that we just, first of all, it's an inherent good. Second of all, we know that we're going to be better off as a community with more students graduating high school and moving on to appropriate college or career than if we didn't.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here. You are listening to HealthBeat on WDIY. We'll be back in just a minute.
Connect with WDIY with our new app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and programs you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or your favorite music shows on demand with our two-week archive feature. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Hi, Hi, this is Janice Ian. Every Monday night at 7 o'clock, WDIY is keeping the golden age of folk music alive with folk classics. Your host, Steve Aronson, features music from all the singer-songwriters, including yours truly, from the groups, with a little folk rock sprinkled in for good measure. Folk Classics is the show to listen to, Mondays at 7 p.m. on WDIY.
Welcome back to Health Beat. We're with Don Barnhard of the Century Fund and Ed Meehan from Ryder Pool. Ed, we were talking about healthcare in general and how it relates to education.
Yes, yes. And part of the wonderful vision of the Century Promise for me is that long term, Greg, as you said, 15 years, 18 years out, let's think about what the child in community services for children will be in 15 or 18 years. And it's huge. We know that workforce prep for healthcare is going to be extremely important, and we want more diversity in the healthcare workforce. And with an associate degree, it's possible to get a fairly good paying job in the healthcare field. It's a great stepping point into work in the future. There's no doubt that there will be jobs 10, 15 years out in the healthcare field. So Don, for me, I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about sort of that preparatory pipeline and maybe how you see, you've spent so much time in community and economic development, if you could speak to the workforce prep a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I think the first thing I'd say is if you talk to people who are the keepers of data, people like Nancy Dishonott, who runs the Workforce Board, you can do a much deeper dive into this and find many areas, and a lot of them, not all of them, are STEM-related areas that you just know there are going to be job opportunities out there 10, 15 years from now. And there's just some obvious ones. Healthcare is one of them. And LVHN, by the way, has really done some fantastic work with Ed's and Ryder Pool's help to take on ASD kids in summer programs and expose them to, you know, hands-on experience with what the opportunity look like in the healthcare field. And there's just no reason to believe that's going to go away in the upcoming years. And, you know, another one I'd mention is opportunities for Center City kids to be teachers. I think a lot of teachers are retiring. That's really been expedited by the pandemic. But, you know, after some issues in the other direction, after teachers were laid off 10 years ago in Pennsylvania, a lot of young people decided, gee, that's kind of scary. I'm not sure what opportunities are there. And there have been far fewer people training to be teachers. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity for Allentown kids to train to be teachers in Allentown in Center City schools. And that's just another example of, you know, the sooner a young person recognizes that that's a path to success and then starts figuring out the exact steps that they need to take, the better.
Do young people know that there's a program like this so that they can get excited and stay motivated about their future?
Yeah, great question. And I think the short answer to that is largely no. And that's got to be part of this, that I think the guidance programs in most schools are just nowhere near the horsepower they need to have to accomplish what you just described, to make sure kids recognize these opportunities. So that's part of the plan here, to expand that. That's why the Workforce Development Board is part of this, to, you know, add some staffing in the high schools to work with students and their parents to make them much more aware of these opportunities and aware of what it's going to take to access those opportunities. But there is a lot of work to be done in that regard.
When you think about it, this is almost like an Oprah moment, where the students in the Lehigh Valley and in Allentown have a company that has their back. They have a lot of companies that have their back. It seems like they, if they knew more about it, they could really get excited about this at an early age.
No question. And the more hands-on opportunities that can be provided that get kids out there and actually on site with some of these opportunities, whether it's working for Citronia Ambulance, say you trained to be an emergency medical technician or eventually a paramedic, the more they can physically be out there and involved with these things, that I think is the surest path to get much more recognition of the opportunities.
So you're really talking about the flexibility of the program.
Yeah, that no 15-year-old kid is going to you know, lock into a lifelong decision that they might not deviate from. But, you know, as Ed was pointing out, there's some broad paths here that certainly STEM training in general opens a lot of doors.
The entrepreneurial activity that can come along with this is huge, really, because what you're allowing students to do is build their skill set, and they can even start their own business if they want.
Yeah, well, there's not a specific component here to aid businesses. There are definitely programs out there that help people do that. CACOV has programs that help train young entrepreneurs, whether thinking of starting a business or already have. And that's certainly another pathway for some people.
Yeah, I was going to say that to your prior point. Students need to know about this opportunity available. But, you know, students are oftentimes just seeing what's immediately in front of them. It's equally important, maybe more important, for the entire community to begin to absorb the idea of the Century Promise to say, you know, we're interested in a prepared workforce in 20 years, and that's why early childhood education is important. That's why helping families get their children on reading level, you know, on third grade is important, because that's how they're going to be able to pass ninth grade algebra, which is going to enable them to finish high school so that they can go on to get an associate degree or go to a four-year program or go into career. So I think there's a branding, marketing, education campaign, not just for students, but for the entire community to have this kind of mindset. And then for students, I think a lot of it is there's some modeling of behavior. Kids, we increasingly know that students learn experientially. If they can see someone that is a lab tech or a nurse tech partner at Lehigh Valley Health Network and shadow them for a day or spend a summer in an internship and say, I could do that. I could be that person in 5 years. And there are people who will help me with that path going forward.
So this program can help students get a work hero, if you will, or a work direction. A lot of times, young people I've noticed will say, I want to be like this person. They'll have a mentor.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the most effective things that can be done here, whether it's a one-on-one mentorship or a group thing that, yeah, again, if they can actually see people doing their jobs and understanding what it took for them to get there, that's important. And not just for the students, but for families, too. It's worth mentioning that a couple of the components here, you know, starting with Head Start, their model is not just working with a student, but putting the whole family on a path to success and understanding what it's going to take to get the, not just what the student needs to do, but what the parents need to do. And there's a whole other layer of this that involves communities and schools, too, that's about restorative practices and really about building positive relationships between the students and the staff, and another mechanism to get them to look at the successful career paths they have and match them up to people who followed before them.
Ed, you mentioned the importance of a child being able to read at third grade level when they're in the third grade. What data do we know about that?
We know that children who are on grade level early on, who learn to read and then read to learn, will do better in their performance as they go through K through 12. We know that if they're not on grade level at, say, third, fourth grade in reading, the trajectory changes. And so suddenly that upward pathway toward increasing education level becomes harder and harder and harder, and it becomes harder, and things slip back. So if you're at fifth grade reading level when you're in the ninth grade, it's going to be really difficult to make up the difference. So early on, if you can keep students, young students on track, you increase your chances of having them on track later on. As it becomes more disparate as time goes on, it's just so much more difficult to remediate.
And two sort of data things we know, and I don't have the exact number in front of me, but significant number of ASD kids are not at the appropriate reading level, whether it's in third grade or eighth grade. But another thing we know is that Head Start kids are at their age-appropriate reading level and beyond. So, you know, it's important. Two things are important. One is that those gains with very young kids not be lost, that they don't go backwards once they start first grade. And that's happened. So part of what we're funding is better coordination between early childhood teachers and kindergarten and first grade teachers, and better parent involvement so that doesn't happen. And then there's always the task of not every child in Allentown that needs it is getting early childhood education. So that's a constant battle to get more funding and increase those numbers.
Let's talk about how we make a difference. A lot of times when you tell a person about a program, they will come up with ideas why they can't participate, but only if, they'll say, but I can't do that because of. What are some of these things that are jumping in front of people trying to get their kids in a program like this and they can't make the connection? Or how do we help people connect to these programs?
Well, I think certainly growing up in poverty puts many and varied barriers in front of families to escape it. So, you know, pounding away at that and reducing poverty in general produces so many benefits, economic benefits, as Ed's pointed out, social health benefits. But I think a lot of these efforts need to be in the schools. There need to be parent engagement programs. They need to match kids up with peers like the ones who followed the early college program that they can see success. I think that's the best path. And one-on-one programs like communities and schools has to work with kids and their families to keep showing them and showing them again the opportunities that are out there. It's not a once and done deal.
I was on LinkedIn last night and saw a young woman who posted something that she had just graduated from college and she was the first one in her family to do this. And she had something, 7,000 people say, congratulations.
Wow.
Ed, you were going to say?
Greg, you've hit exactly on what I was going to say. Part of the answer to your question is community. Community is extremely important. And so if we have neighbors talking to neighbors saying, this child is attending Building 21 and look how well they're doing. We have some, my nephew is going to Community Services for Children for Early Childhood Education. It's a good thing. We should look into it more. We should advocate for it. We should have more slots for early childhood education for kids in Allentown. So the power of the reinforcing power of neighbors talking to neighbors, of community talking to community, and showing a path forward to say it can be done is extremely important. The other thing I would say, to Don's great credit and Century Fund's great credit, is he's worked for philanthropic organizations, so have I. Frequently, we look at funding, you know, housing over here, health over there, education over there, and we think about things in silos, and we expect agencies to compete for resources. And part of the real beauty of the Century Promise is an initial six organizations from disparate places who are working together for a common long-term goal and vision. So Don, you know, that's kudos to you, but I wonder if you could speak a little bit more about the need for agencies to work collaboratively and cooperatively for a mutual goal.
Well, that's a great point, Ed, and it's, you know, a lesson I learned way back many years ago when I was the city's community development director, that if you're just doing things in silos, it's like maybe you have a great housing program, but if you don't have physical improvement programs and economic development programs to reduce poverty, if you're not doing it all at the same time, you're just basically playing whack-a-mole, that you're knocking one problem down and another one over here is growing up, that you really need to get at things in a comprehensive way. And that just happened organically here. And he said this conversation started as a middle school transformation discussion. But to the credit of all six of the organizations involved here, we didn't have to beat them over the head to cooperate. They really did it on their own initiative and weren't viewing it as a zero-sum game, that if the other guy gets less, I get more. They really did view it as a cooperative effort and something that was going to be much more successful if they worked collectively to produce a result.
Gentlemen, we are running short on time. This has been an outstanding discussion. If parents want to learn more about the Century Promise, where should they go?
We're setting up a website which is about to be updated, but probably the best thing is to contact Lisa Curran at the Century Fund office.
The Century Promise, an outstanding program in Allentown for our students to help them get ahead. Ed and Don, thank you so much for being on HealthBeat.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
You are listening to WDIY. Have a good evening.
Lehigh Valley Public Radio is proud to present HealthBeat, a spotlight on healthcare in the Lehigh Valley, produced in conjunction with the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust and the Ryder Poole Foundation.